money.
Let's talk money.
I don't have your money.
I know I'd be a lot happier with some extra cash.
Is this about money?
Obviously, this is all about money.
Oh, man, we got bills to pay, buddy.
With practical tips and a focus on scripture, let's talk money. With Dave and Reb. From More Than Enough. Real conversations about money for real people. Let's talk money.
Are you ready to talk money, Reb?
I'm ready.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us this morning. If you're drawing on your first coffee or maybe second or third coffee because you're in the Ottawa area and you're listening on 99.1, then pull up a chair. Sit down, you know, bring that coffee with you. It's okay. You can join us because we're going to have a great conversation. We've got Mark Young back with us. If you missed the last show, then you have to go back. Maybe not right now, but go back and listen. You hear a little bit of Mark's story. You'll hear a little bit of who he is. And of course, the topic is the continuing topic that we leveraged last time. So, everybody's in suspense. Now, I love starting the show with just a little bit of suspense. It's just my thing. So welcome to the show. Again, want to just give our thanks to notmine.ca, Financial Discipleship Canada, their support and really their friendship with us here at Let's Talk Money, and thank them for what they're doing. If you haven't checked out notmine.ca, please do so. Lots of great resources around biblical finance, what it is. And this is the topic that we talk about every single time we're here. And today we get to continue that conversation of maybe later stages in life, that again, if you heard the show, refirement years.
What does that mean, actually? You said it last week, and I'm like, you're going to leave people with, like, what? Retirement? Refirement? What?
Well, somebody once told me when we started podcasting that you needed to start with a hook, you know, something that catches people's attention. So I thought that was a great hook.
Yeah, but I'm asking you, what is it?
Okay, so
what is refirement?
I wouldn't say it's even a Dave made up word.
No,
it's
because I think Lynn Fraser said it years ago. I mean,
there's many people that say so. Typically when we think of end of life, and Mark defined
end
it
of
so.
Life. Retirement's not end of life.
End of working life.
Okay, thank
end
you.
End of working life.
Sorry, I'm just giving you the gears. Yes. The female listeners out there like it when I give you the gears. Okay. So.
Well, there it is. I am getting the gears this morning, okay. Ladies. So
refirement is when you...
At the end of your working years.
Thank you.
Then there's a transition. As Mark said last show, that transition is from when you exchange your time for money... And now you can exchange your money for time. So there's a refirement. There's a rethinking that happens there.
But I always thought it was like a spark and a passion. And you're not just retiring and laying over and going to sleep or whatever you do. But it's actually something that gives you passion. And last week we heard about your story, Mark. So thank you for coming again.
Oh, thank you for having me.
We heard Mark's story of his retirement and his journey and some of the things that are, for lack of a better way to say it, firing him up during his retirement years.
I mean, we have to, the end of that show, we decided together, the three of us, that retirement, there was only one real reference in scripture to retirement. So it's not biblical. I think we decided that.
I don't know if you even, we did not say it quite like that.
Okay, this is Dave's interpretation.
It all depends on definitions, and we're not really going to define retirement. But what we were saying, I think, and maybe Mark will correct me in a minute, but there aren't a lot of references that say stop working now in the Bible. It doesn't say, you know, in your 70th year, you stop working and then your family takes care of you. There are principles around retirement, but it doesn't specifically address it, except you said in Numbers 8
with the Levites, priests.
Right. Yeah. And that was a reference to when they turned 50, they would step back and really become mentors for the younger priests.
Yes.
Right. So, which is a really interesting idea and a principle, actually, not necessarily at 50, But in your case, it was 50. So, but Mark, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? Because we're going to continue this conversation a little bit about retirement based on a spreadsheet tool that you're using to help folks in their retirement years.
Yes, for sure. So on the personal side, I'm a longtime follower of Christ, husband to my wife of 37 years, and father of three grown children, and two of them are married. And no grandchildren yet, but in the Lord's timing.
Yeah, very good.
On the professional side, I'm a retired software engineer / project manager / entrepreneur. Always worked for small companies, so that I had to roll my own pension, if you like. Yeah. And so that kind of factors into the work that I'm doing now.
Mm-hmm. Which is actually a passion for you. So if I think of fire, I think of passion. If we use the word refirement, I think of what you do that you're passionate about.
We talked last podcast, Eric Liddell said, God made me fast and I feel his pleasure in me when I run. And for some reason, God made me good with numbers.
Oh,
and I feel his pleasure when I'm able to use that to help other people.
Oh my goodness. There's a lot of people I can hear thinking, I don't like money or numbers.
We will leave Mark's contact details in the show notes.
Well, we certainly will when you find out what he's doing. But there was another gentleman in one of our Unleashed workshops recently, and he's like a retired chartered accountant. He does a lot of seminars on money and he's very passionate about teaching it. And he also is good with numbers. And I just look at him and I think there's a lot of people that if you could just absorb some of that DNA from you guys, you know, it would be very helpful for folks in their finances. Mm-hmm. But okay. So I want you to share, because I got you to share this a scripture last week in the middle of the show. So I'm going to do it at the beginning today. When we're going to be talking some of the work you're doing now, but what is behind that, like through this proverb that you've shared?
Yeah. So Proverbs 3:5-6, I think most people know this or are at least familiar with it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your paths straight. Mm-hmm. And so despite all the financial planning that I talk about here and that we do, that's really just in recognition that the Lord is over all and that we need to trust in him first. And these other things are just tools to help us trust him better, help us to steward the resources that he's given to us in a better way.
And one of the reasons, you know, when Mark and I, you and I first connected, we have this acrostic, which we've mentioned on this podcast numerous times, and that is financial awareness creates empowerment. And I think what we're talking about today is this tool that you have that we're going to talk about, it fits right in that, is we need to be aware of, you know, at every stage in our life of what's going on in our finances. So that's why I'm excited.
So tell us about what you've created and how you're using it to help people.
Okay. Well, first I'd like to talk about retirement projections.
Okay.
What a retirement projection is. And so a retirement projection attempts to show your expenses throughout retirement and how those expenses are funded by various pensions, and withdrawals from different investment accounts. And we call this cash flow. And ultimately, the projection will estimate what's left when you pass away. In retirement, we have choices. I don't know if most people know that CPP can be taken anywhere from ages 60 to 70. Mm-hmm. You take it early, it's a little less. If you take it later, it's a little more. And OAS similarly can be taken from 65 to 70. You also have a choice when you retire about which accounts you withdraw from, your RSP or your TFSA. Some people have non-registered that they can draw from. And each of those decisions has financial implications to it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a complex mix of stuff that's really, really hard to model. A good projection tool will calculate when you should be taking CPP and OAS and show you how and when to draw down your various investment accounts in order to maximize the funds that are available to you during retirement and in your estate.
Mm-hmm. And that's really, I mean, I don't know, I don't think you mentioned it, but I'm a big, there is a lot of tax implications when you talk about maximizing, you know, it's about, you know, and we all know this from our, our working careers. I make X number of dollars, but I only get this X number of dollars actually in hand. And it's in our retirement years, we don't often think about those strategic moves that we make or can make to minimize the tax imprint or footprint that we have to then allow, okay, then I have this money available for spending. And it's all about the planning.
Exactly. So the RRSP is touted as a great solution when you're working to get your taxes down. So you contribute to your RRSP, your taxes get reduced. What is not talked about a lot is what happens if you have a big RRSP when you pass away. Mm-hmm. And that whole amount gets taxed as income and could push you up into the 50% tax bracket.
Yeah,
and that's a big hit in your estate.
And we're going to talk next week with someone who's going to help us out with that. But so that's just my little teaser for next week. But so if you have these, if you have investments and I am like 65 and I'm like, I don't know what to do, which we've had people, a few conversations with folks, like, we're just not sure we have investments. We're just feeling like, do you have anyone we could talk to who could help us figure out what to take when? And then we met you. And you have created a spreadsheet tool. In fact, I had to ask you last week, like, Mark, what's your last name? Because I just call you Mark Spreadsheet. So, yeah, that was my bad. But what is it? What are you doing?
Well, let's talk about how this is done typically.
Okay.
So you're getting close to retirement. You go and you find your financial planner and you sit down and you give them all your numbers. And they put them into some software and crank out a few scenarios for you. And then they hand you back a printed report as well as a bill for a few thousand dollars.
Oh, dear.
And, you know, as we know, the stock market performance changes year to year. Life situation changes. Health situations change and so on. So our circumstances change. And that involves running a new projection. And so if you're working with a traditional financial planner route, you go back, you give them the new stats, they run a new projection for you, you get a static report back and another bill. And so I wanted a way to be able to run these scenarios on my own. And a spreadsheet is the perfect tool for this. In fact, most do-it-yourself investors have their own spreadsheet where they do some of this planning. What's lacking is the sophisticated financial optimization that happens when you start to play with taking your CPP and OAS at different years, how fast to draw down your RRSP and your different accounts, and what order to do that in. And in my working career, I had some spent a bit of time working with medical images and doing medical image processing. And there was an algorithm that we use that works really well for financial optimization. And so I said, okay, well, the spreadsheet's perfect tool for this. Let's build a spreadsheet, and then I'll write this algorithm to pump numbers through it, and then we'll find the best plan for somebody in terms of when to take their CPP and OAS and to give them a drawdown. It's called a drawdown plan for their different accounts. All this with the goal of minimizing taxes over retirement and maximizing the funds available to them.
And I love it because, I mean, I've seen the spreadsheet and again, going back to that, you know, information, it's just so valuable to be able and simple to at the, you know, again, you get to the end and you're going, okay, so what, and maybe this is just my personality, but I get to the end and I look at it and then all of a sudden I think, okay, so, but what if I do this, right? You know, as you said, do I have to go back to the financial advisor? But often it's like, what if I do this? Well, then we can just change that number over here. And then you get this. And it's like, well, that was a bad move. Don't do that. Right? You know, or no, that was better. Or, you know, what if I do want to travel for 3 or 4 months internationally? Well, how does that impact the plan that I've been handed or the plan I'm working currently? So that's for me, when I went on the spreadsheet, that was the power that I loved personally, because I could mess with it a little bit and try these different scenarios and see the different outputs.
Exactly. And a big one that comes up these days is people want to help their kids out with a house purchase,
right? Mm.
Which involves a substantial transfer of cash.
It certainly does. Yeah. So how did you, like, you created the spreadsheet? Like, when did you do that? A few years ago, or
it was about 3 years ago? Okay. I guess I started on it. Took 2 years to develop. Like I said in the last show, I had been having a retirement spreadsheet of one form or another since I was 36.
Yeah,
so this
right.
was kind of an evolution of that, but a spreadsheet on steroids.
Fair enough.
If you like to think about that.
Did you wake up one day and think, okay, I need to do this and share it? Like, was there an inner drive thinking I need to help people, or like, how did that evolve?
Well, once the spreadsheet got to a certain state, I thought, you know, maybe I can generalize this to help out others. And so I was part of an investment forum on the internet, and I put the spreadsheet up and said, you know, anybody want to try this? And so we had a few people try it, and I got really good response from it. So from that, I made a website and some tutorial videos, and again, getting good feedback. And then in December, it got picked up by a retirement forum. Mm-hmm. And we went from, I think I had about 50 users at the time to 500 overnight.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And talk about keeping you busy. There were, of course, lots of new requests for changes in different financial situations that hadn't been handled originally. And we got through those with the help of those users. And it's become really quite a valuable tool now.
Mm-hmm. And you still have that many users using the...
I think we're up to about 650 now.
Wow. So, yeah. So what do people receive, I guess, when they go to your website?
So they have the ability to download a Microsoft Excel spreadsheet.
Okay.
It works on a PC or a Macintosh computer in Microsoft Excel. And in that, they bring it up. There's a bunch of forms there. You don't have to be spreadsheet literate to use it.
Okay.
You just fill in the forms. I've been has very extensive documentation there. So I encourage people to read. And they just work through the process. Mm-hmm. And then at the end, they get their projection. And there's buttons there that they can use to optimize that projection.
Yeah, I like the optimize button. you know, because again, I mean, I'm a little bit spreadsheet savvy. I know I talk to lots of people that are like, their eyes glaze over the minute you say Excel or spreadsheet. Right. But again, just having used it and going, okay, so you just input the data, and yes, there's lots of questions, and the more accurate you are, the more you fill in the accurate amounts for what we're asking for, then you hit the optimize button and here it is, right? Like, you know,
what does optimize mean in that context? Sorry, from someone who is not
financial.
So optimize
tries to find the best age to start CPP and OAS and the best way to contribute and withdraw from your registered retirement funds.
Okay. And does it print it out in an Excel spreadsheet, or do you get like actually words that say, do this when?
There's some instructions built into the program, but it's primarily graphs.
Okay.
You get to see.
Okay.
The other aspect, I haven't touched on this yet, but the other aspect that I wanted in the spreadsheet was the ability to look at charitable contributions and how that could affect the projection and how much we could give, really. And it's interesting for a lot of people. They find out they can actually give more than they thought.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That must make you so happy.
Financial credit, that makes my day. When I get somebody, I had the gentleman the other day who said, you know, after I ran my projection, I was able to up my donations. And so
it's such an interesting, and here's where I'm going to turn to our listeners, and because we have seen the exact same thing as we extinguish debt. People do increase their giving, and it's more about addressing I'll say, the fear of not enough. And in our world, when we show them you are giving a certain percentage of your income to the banks and living quite fine, why not continue to give? But now you can give to the things that you're really passionate about, and it's not going to change your lifestyle. There's a light that comes on, and there's an excitement about, wow, wait a minute, you're right. I can give more because I'm not giving to the in terms of the debt, the carrying the debt. And in this case, I can't imagine the again, you get to sit in the seat to see the light come on and go, okay, you mean I can give more to... Yes. And not only just money, but you're giving time and exactly. You're giving. So it's, yeah, it's exciting.
Exactly. So once people, like they can go and just use the tool, they never have to talk to you if they don't want to. Right.
Correct. Some people find it helpful to spend. I do an hour video call with people just to review their numbers.
Right.
And you know, it's complex software. It's complex finances just themselves.
But you complex. will meet. So they can use the tool, but you will meet with them.
Exactly. I've acquired the title retirement coach
in this
retirement forum that I work for. It wasn't one I asked for, but that it kind of applied it in its stuff.
So now you can call them Mark retirement.
I'm a coach instead of spreadsheets. Yeah. So it's just so I know that you're where to send people. I wrote it down somewhere.
MarkSpreadsheet.com.
Oh, yeah. I have it highlighted on my sheet. Yeah,
two S's.
Okay. Yeah. Yes. MarkSpreadsheet.com. But we're going to have that in the show notes as well. But let's go back to what have you learned through this experience?
So in this process of meeting with people, I've had a chance to look at a lot of projections. And so first thing, the amount of money that somebody has doesn't necessarily relate to how happy they are or satisfied they are with their lives. Mm-hmm. And second, the amount of money that they have doesn't necessarily relate to how much they give to charity. Mm-hmm. And then the third thing, I think most important, is those who do make financial giving part of their retirement seem to be more content with their finances.
Mm-hmm. So that's very interesting.
I think that's just reflecting a godly principle, right? It's all God's anyways, and we're just giving back. Mm-hmm. Part of what he's given to us.
So I just want to reiterate that again. So the amount a person has doesn't mean they're content. So if they have more, it doesn't bring more happiness to them.
Correct.
But what you've seen is that there is more contentment when they're giving.
Exactly.
And it doesn't matter what the retirement income is when someone... It doesn't mean having lots of, if you have lots of money, you're going to do a lot of giving.
And in fact, the ones with lots of money tend to do less giving.
Yeah. Right? Well, that's actually Statistics Canada. That is the current, what we talk about sometimes here, just in the earning years when you're working for income. Wow. How does that make you feel, actually?
I think it makes me feel like there's a huge opportunity out there.
Right.
People just need to have their eyes open. But ultimately, it's a spiritual thing, right? Mm-hmm. When we recognize God is owner of everything, it's not hard to give back to him. Mm-hmm. And we realize that in the process of giving, it releases us from greed. Mm-hmm. Somebody who's looking for security in their financial projection is going to try to hold everything. There's a fear.
Right.
There's a fear there. And then when we understand ultimately that, that God owns all, and ultimately we're seeking his ways and can give back, that releases us from that greed and from that fear.
Oh, all of what you're saying makes me want to talk about our scarcity and lack and gratitude and reciprocity that I'm learning about, but I'm not going to. So
those are podcasts coming up. What is Reb thinking about?
I am thinking about that because everything you're saying has to do with the current of the scarcity mentality that is pervasive through every part of our culture, that we will not have enough when in fact we have enough to share. And when the more we share and the more open-handed we are, no matter what season you're in, and you're doing it according to, we're hopefully going to do a podcast with a pastor this summer who has a 1% challenge at his church for people who don't give. He just says start with 1% and see what happens. And it's every time he says they don't stop at one, it always increases. So it's really that whole idea of giving and what that does for us and the gratitude that flows mm-hmm. out. And when we're grateful, we give, and then we give, we become more grateful. It's just this, it's seen in nature. It's seen when you look like with what God's created, his creation just gives back and mm-hmm. gives and gives. And we need to learn from people like you who are doing this work and also from the nature. Anyway, I could get carried away, but I want you to talk. I know we only have a couple more minutes, but there's one thing I want you to talk about, because you said this to me. You have heard people say that they're looking for security in financial projections.
Yes.
What does that mean?
I think people just want to know they have enough money to live comfortably for the rest of their lives. Mm. But I say, you know, a financial projection can look ahead 50 years. So let's look back 50 years, 1975. House prices were $30,000. Since then, we went through, you know, 12.5% inflation and 20% interest rates, financial crises, and so on. Looking ahead, we see we see political instability, we see wars, we see artificial intelligence, which they say may even have a bigger effect on us than the Industrial Revolution. So I think looking ahead, in the next 50 years, we're going to see more change than the last 50. So we can't put our hope in a financial projection. Financial projection is our best guess, but our ultimate hope lives in the Lord.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's such a good word, because, as you were talking about that and thinking back and going, you know, I'm 55 now. Yes, so there it is. But I look back at my life and I go, oh, man, the things that I've experienced, I could have never projected. I could have never seen
cell phones,
that
internet,
coming,
exactly.
Right? You know,
yes.
Like we have lived in some of that change and that, and there is hope in saying, and guess what? I'm still alive. I still am able to get up. I still have passion about things in life now. And, you know, again, humans are still humans and that part of it. So, you know,
but here's the encouragement I think I want to leave with people around that giving note. There is insecurity. There are things that are going to happen that might not be what you want financially in these later years. But if we can encourage each other to share and be in community, it will make things so much better for all of us, because we'll be supporting one another in community, not doing it alone, not being isolated. And because I think that also, that's a whole other show as well, but we've been saying it a lot in 2025. If we can learn to share and be open-handed with what we have, then the insecurity that we may be feeling about our future, we can be put to rest, because we know we're in family and community.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's such a big deal. So Lord, you can only lead us through this season. As we keep our eyes on you give us passions, you give us places where money needs to be allocated, or time needs to be allocated, or other resources that we have. And so, Lord, we thank you for all that you've given us, and we, in a sense, give it all back to you, and we look to you for wisdom and guidance on how to do that. And so, Lord, we thank you for that in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you, Mark, for being here.
Thanks
so good. MarkSpreadsheet.com. If you want to look it up, it'll be in the show notes. Shout out to NotMine.ca for their support. Again, part of our community. And you are too. So join us next week when we talk money.
Let's Talk Money is a division of More Than Enough Financial Fitness, where God is transforming hearts and bringing hope for today and freedom for tomorrow. For more information or to comment on today's show, please visit morethanenough.ca.